Hey, my name is Craig Sikowski, and I'm with Nina Perez on Straight Talk, No Sugar. So today we're going to be talking about fake positivity and how we really need to rein in our stinking thinking.
So I just had a conversation with Craig, and he said, you need to face yourself in the mirror, and one of you has to die. I was like, okay, then we are talking about the quantum field and energy and how to show up for you and to stop living in the toxic positivity and all the crap that you've been fed in the world. So grab a pen and pad, y'all. I think you're going to love this episode. Here we go. What up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. So I don't know if you can see over here. See this guy over here? See him? Yeah, that's Craig. Craig is hanging out with me today. I mean, he is an amazing guy. And, you know, my team was like, Nina, can we do this again? Because we tried this before, and the tech was trying to act up. But nope, Craig was like, yes, I will do it again. So here he is. Now, he is a true freaking warrior, okay? He's a 911 World Trade Center lung cancer survivor. He's an entrepreneur. He's an international speaker. You know, he's really turning deep trauma into unstoppable purpose. And that's why I'm so glad he's here. He started talking to me before we got on the show about toxic positivity. So that's where we are going today, y'all. Okay. Because we are going to do this thing the right way. So Craig, thank you for being here. Now, I know that we didn't get to air the last one because it was a hot mess. So I do want my people to know though, who you are. So let's start there. Who is Craig? Who are you?
So Craig sounds so weird, right? Craig is this guy.
Yeah.
I'm a 9/11 responder to the World Trade Center that ended up with lung cancer. And it's been now it's like going on 13 years. I beat it. However, I still have the physical scars and just the physical pain of them removing my mid and lower right lobe, my right lung. I've been able to develop certain things for myself, and I want to help people overcome their stinking thinking. So I look at my life here like I'm here to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. And you know, people ask me, who do I piss off the most? And and ironically, it's my clients, because I have to put have to put a mirror up to their face.
Goodbye, right? Y'all. The show is over. That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, and I believe in my own, you know, in my own way of thinking that humans need just a couple tweaks. And once we're able to dial into our frequency, our own frequency, right? Mm. Then our energy and just our vibration changes. And I'm very passionate about what I do because I've been able to do it for myself.
Right.
Right. So I believe that if I can do it, a knucklehead from Jersey, anybody can. And I present myself to the world. And, you know, and I love being on here so much. And I really appreciate the opportunity for part two. And, yeah, wherever you want to go, let's go.
You know, I knew you were East Coast boy. I'll tell you, you got that swag. You got that East Coast vibe. I knew it. You weren't going to say California. I knew it. Anyway, Craig, it's really a pleasure. You know, you did survive a lot, right? And I want to dig into that a little bit, because I want to transition into the stinking thinking thing, right? Okay. Because if you're talking about that, if that's what you are helping your people with, then that means you must have had some stinking thinking in your life. Is that right?
60 years worth.
Right? So talk to me about that stinking thinking and those moments in your life.
So the stinking thinking, I believe, started, I was molested as a kid, and I was a drug addict in my teens. I've been through bankruptcies, a couple divorces, actually a couple bankruptcies. I've been broke more times than I like to remember. I was homeless at one time. I've had amazing experiences though. You know, I was able to live in a bush in Jamaica for 6 months with somebody that was savant, and he showed me what the mind can actually do. And this was probably in my late 20s, early 30s. And I've been able to tap into me. And what I mean by that is that most people are afraid to become themselves. They're looking to become this external person, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking about before. You have all of these people on social media showing their highlight reels. I don't do that. I show people like, this is my life. I'm in Mexico. I'm in a 400 square foot studio apartment, right? Sometimes I don't leave here for days. I call this place my lab because I'm developing who I am.
Right.
In my core, right? So I'm sitting in this place in Merida, Mexico, and I've raised my daughter here for 7 years with my ex-wife. I've had restaurants here and businesses here, and I didn't even speak the language at the time. And now that I'm here, I'm in a different dynamic mentally because I'm divorced, because my kid is in here, right? I'm no longer really friends with the people I used to be friends with because they were like grouped couples kind of thing, right? And now I'm a single guy. So now I actually took the time to really find out who I am as a human.
How did you start that process? Like, right? Because somebody's listening right now, not knowing what the heck, who the heck they are, right?
So I started the process. I have to go back to, I was studying epigenetics after I had my bilobectomy, where they took my mid and lower lobe, my right lung out. From cancer. And that created a whole bunch of physical problems in my life. And I had to really tap into my friend Louis, who's savant, and I was living in Jamaica, everything that he taught me, because I was on Dilaudid, morphine, Percocet, Percodan, all kinds of drugs, and they weren't doing anything. Right. So I was taking these drugs, not being mentally in a good place, right? And I was still in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching a bunch of things, and this guy, Dr. Joe Dispenza, popped up, and I started studying epigenetics. And I've always been into understanding who I was, but not really kind of. I just didn't have that guide, right? Because I was never mentally there. I was a guy in my 40s receiving accolades, walking on stages, talking about real estate finance, and I would get the accolades, and I'd walk off stage thinking that I was less than, thinking that, you know, like, I don't even know why I'm here.
Right.
And it was because I didn't really tap into the molestation part. And I was in my mid 40s.
It's hard to go back to, right? When you start to think about it and undig that monster, I was there too. So I get it. And it's better. That's why you got into drugs and all the other things. Sometimes it's just better to ignore it. But even though it's eating at you still. I mean, your mind doesn't forget, but yeah. So what happened? What was that journey from that walking on stages and noticing that you're having that transition of that imposter syndrome, or I'm not good enough, or, you know, what happened there?
So as I started getting into epigenetics, I had this one incident happen where I walked into, it was a 9/11 physical meeting with a doctor to show me what was really wrong with the things that I had going on. And she brought this x-ray out and she looked at me and she was like, Craig, have you ever had like a bad x-ray? And at that time, I've already been through the surgeries. I've already had doctors misdiagnose me with certain things. So it's like when somebody tells you you have cancer, your biochemistry changes, right?
Yeah, I bet it does.
And your mindset just snaps. And when she said that to me, I was like, whatever this lady, and I'd probably been into like epigenetics for a couple of years. And when she said that, I was like, you know what? I mean, whatever she's going to say really isn't going to make me lose my smile, you know? And that's when she told me her diagnosis. She's like, oh my God, look at this cloud and all of that stuff. And I was like, that's where my lobes used to be.
Right.
She didn't even have my paperwork.
Oh.
So that right there made me realize that I'm never coming to conclusions ever again.
Right.
Because when you come to a conclusion, it's a finality, right? So our mindset is designed to be like, ah, this is it. Boom, done, over with.
Yeah. And it's having all the information too, isn't it?
That's why I'll never come to conclusions, because if I come to a conclusion from what somebody's saying, and somebody else comes up with a different way of conveying it or different information, then I have to be open and willing, right, to change the way I think. Mm-hmm. And this is my approach to clients, friends, mentors, mentees, the world. It's because we have to be open. We can't be so rigid.
Right.
We can't have that fake positivity. Right.
Right. And what does that mean? I want to touch on that, because I'm telling you, okay, I want to touch on that. First of all, I want you to tell me what toxic or fake positivity is. And I want to go down that rabbit hole with you.
So in my experience, fake positivity is, oh my God, my life is so good. Yet my subconscious behavior from my past habits and experiences is like, no, it really isn't. I'm saying it's great, but you know what? My life is shit. I don't have money to pay my bills. I don't know where anything is coming. My health problems are there. And okay, you can't think like that, right? Because 5% of everything that we think is our conscious thought daily. Mm-hmm. Joe Dispenza said humans have 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 90% of those are the same thoughts that we had from the day before. Mm-hmm. So we're literally living in our own past, okay? And instead of being positive, something entirely different.
Okay.
Thinking you're positive and actually creating the positivity in your
life. All right. We're going to touch that, right? Because I want to get into that. Because, you know, the thinking positive thing, right? Like, I know that there's a lot of gurus and a lot of people that say you can't think negative, because if you think negative, all negative things will happen. Like, nothing positive will happen. I live in a little bit of a different space. Like, I feel the same way you do. I innately am a positive person. Like, that's just how I am now. It wasn't like that before. I used to be a very big victim to my circumstances, right? So do you feel that, like you were saying, oh, everything's great, but in the background, everything's shit, right? So do you think it serves people well to know that that is the truth, so that they can shift it? Or should they keep lying to themselves like that fake it till you make it statement?
No, sit in the shit. Sit in that devastating stuff. Sit in the catastrophic events.
Agreed.
Sit in everything that it's hard and difficult. And yeah, man, you have to. See, like, I've been a psychologist, psychiatrist, like coaches, mentors, like ridiculously, right? Because I wanted to get out of my head and know who I am. So I've been doing this pretty much my whole life. I just didn't know what I was doing. Now that there's an industry behind it that's even bigger, it's even bigger false positivity, because there's so many people in this environment, in this coaching, personal development, that are full of shit, that are literally just full of shit. Because they have these great reels and look at me on social media and all this, then people believe this nonsense, right?
Yeah.
I know of one person, it's a giant in the industry, massive giant, and I won't say his name. Found out he's the one who committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I was just blown away.
Oh, yeah.
I was blown away. I was like, you know, I was blown away too.
I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
I used to communicate with him, you know, on Instagram all the time. And then I was like, I saw his family's post, and I was just like, Why not? He's human.
Yeah.
Some of us just can't take it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that hurt me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I know through all my psychedelic experiences, okay, I'm never coming back here. I'm never reincarnating back to this criminal enterprise we call Earth.
Yeah. It's a criminal enterprise for sure. You know, that's interesting. And that's so good that you said that too. And I know who you're talking about, because I was like blown absolutely away. But then I realized that, you know what, when we start to build a fake facade, right? It's hard to then be real. It's hard to then expose the truth, right? Or at least look for help or say something that's realistic, right? Because you've already mounted up so much of a following with this thing that when you say, you know what, I'm going through some shit right now, or I'm having some mental health issues, or I'm really feeling depressed or something, you're afraid you might lose that following, lose the clientele, do you agree with that?
100%. That's why, yeah. I said, like, who I piss off the most? My clients.
Right.
Because they have to face themselves for the first time in their life. And they're looking at me like, I hate you because you are helping me expose myself to bullshit of who I am.
Right. Yeah. Nobody
likes that.
I'm doing
my job. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be hated by so many. Right.
No, it is a blessing. Yeah. Because you're doing something right.
And I believe that, like I said before, I'm here to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. And a lot of people don't like looking at themselves in the mirror, not to see their reflection, but to see their character.
Right.
And that is something that blew me away, because when I was battling cancer and going through like all the drugs and treatments and all of that crap, and I never had to get chemo or radiation.
Oh, wow.
It was the after effects of the surgeries that messed my life up tremendously.
Yeah, yeah.
People would look at me and be like, you look fine. Meanwhile, I was in most crippling pain.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was talking to them, I was doing conscious, subconscious meditating, walking, talking, meditation. I'd be listening to frequencies for hours to understand who I was.
Mm.
And people like, that's weird, dude. Like, why are you listening to frequencies? I was like, do you listen to music? Like, oh yeah, all the time. It's like, that does frequencies.
Yeah,
I'm just zeroing in on the frequencies that are going past my conscious thought into my subconscious. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I was like, music has been changed in the industry to certain frequencies to actually tap into people's subconscious.
Yeah. I mean, they used it to hypnotize people all the time. Hello. That's like ancient history. That everybody knows that. Well, not everybody, but most people know that. That's why do you think you can listen to a song and mumble all the words and not know what you're even saying, because you're so hypnotized into the actual song or the frequency of the beat that you're listening to, right?
And so start crying.
Yeah, exactly.
Or laughing or be, you know, joyful.
Right. It's so true. And it's a powerful thing too. It's, I equate it a lot to food, right? That it can pull you back to a thought, like to taste or flavor or your senses, right? Because it pulls you back to something. Music is a powerful tool for that, right? What got you into that though? Because I mean, that's not what you were doing. You were doing real estate, right? You were doing finances, mm-hmm. You were doing all those things. What got you into actually figuring that out, like that there's a frequency or that I need, there's something missing here?
I've been into this for a really long time, ever since I was a little kid.
Okay.
I just didn't understand why I was the weird one.
Okay.
Right? Like I was that freaky kid that would just wander off and do whatever the hell he is that he wanted. You know, I always wondered that.
Right.
But I started learning about like 0 to 8 years old. The Jesuits used to say, like, show me the kid and I'll show you the adult. Because our mental life doesn't change. I believe we're all children in adult bodies, because we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could, what I do with some of my friends, clients or whatever, if somebody's jammed up, I have them make a recall of something really tragic in their life. And then it's not the story, it's the emotional attachment to the story.
Right.
So I want them to get that feeling again. Like, oh shit, this is horrible. Yes, it is. It's very horrible. Now we're going to show you how it's not horrible anymore, because I want you to tell your story free flowing. And by that, it means that you've disconnected the emotional attachment to the story.
Right.
And I don't care how horrific the story is. It doesn't. The story itself is captivating.
Mm-hmm.
How you survived it, and now how you're thriving through it.
Right.
How you're growing through your pain. And to me, I'm like the most blessed dude on the planet. I get to play with people all the time. And I say play because it is a play. It's a back and forth. It's a dance mentally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I never leave anybody worse than where they started off with as soon as they've met me or have listened to me. Because I've had the best mentors in the world.
Right.
Right. And I had one of my mentors tell me not too long ago, he's like, well, what is it like to mentor now the best in the world? And I was just like, oh, wow.
It's very cool, right?
That's pretty, yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Good job.
That's pretty cool. So how are you attacking or having people be aware of this toxic positivity? Like how are you bringing that to the forefront?
So what I do communicate with people is to talk to them about neurological linguistic programming. Talk about the phrases and like, I try. No, you don't. You are, you be, right? So you can't try to be positive. You have to be positive. And you have to be positive by sitting in all of that dark shit.
Yeah.
That's where the cracked light starts to shine.
So true. Yeah.
And people are so like caught up in their everyday existence. People are so caught up in, well, you know, like what's so-and-so going to say? Who gives a fuck what they say? Right. Seriously, they're not even paying attention to you.
Right.
They're not. They're glad you have your own problems.
It's so true.
So you can, on this world stage that we're in now, you can just walk in and take whatever it is that you want and just be that authority for yourself and watch what happens, man. Because when you start changing your energy, your vibration, that light that you have gets turned on. And I think it's like 8 meters or something, or 14 feet or whatever that calculation is. But when you're talking to somebody, you're energetically bonding with them. Because we are batteries. We're light seeking a human experience, and our batteries drain when we're around mental terrorists, when we're around mental vampires.
So true.
People are like, you know what? Let's just join them because, you know, I'm going to feel better about myself. No. Be by yourself to be better for yourself.
It's true. I mean, I was reading an article about, you know, groupthink, right? And it was talking about, you know, how people, they did these experiments and how they put these people in awkward situations. And although it went against a lot of their moral compass, they would do it anyway because the crowd was doing it. Yeah. And I'm like, that is so interesting, right? Because you're talking about like that thought process and energy and all of that. If I walk in a room and I feel off, like something's off, it's the energy in the room. I got to go. You know, because I feel like the negativity or the tension, like I always say, you can cut it with a knife. Why do people say that? Because the tension is thick and it's energy and you feel it, right? You can literally feel it. So when you're talking about helping your clients, or I know you do a live and you do, you know, other things too on social media and stuff like that. And you're attacking these type of topics like the toxic positivity. If somebody's listening right now, what do they do? Do they just start thinking negatively? Do they start looking at their situation and just kind of spewing the bullshit out and letting people know where they're going through? Like, how would you attack that?
So I would attack it. First, it's like I always wanted to save the world. Then I realized the world is always going to be the world, okay?
Yeah.
I had to save myself. Yes. Right.
Yes.
And how it's such a dark question. It really is, because we have to look at ourselves for everything, because everything is outside of us. All the chaos, the noise, the kids, the spouses, the all of this distorted shit is going to stop you from tapping into the quantum field. That's that energy. That's the energy where we're speaking right now, but there's no cords, right? They've tapped into the Wi-Fi of the world. They've actually got a signal, right? And now they send you a bill and charge you for that signal. Well, humans have a signal as well, but most people are paying that price by avoiding it, by actually tapping into the dark, by actually sitting in that disempowered crap to become empowered for themselves, to turn that light on, to tap into the soul, to tap into that thing that makes our heart beat and our blood pump without us even thinking about it. Right. It's all our subconscious. So it taps into something that we have called the reticular activating system. And when we tap into the RAS is like a cyborg. It's just watching. It's listening. It's just scanning. It wants to please you. Because our human body was developed, right, for fight, flight, and freeze. It was designed to protect us. Yeah, how do we overcome that? You got to get radically uncomfortable in being radically uncomfortable. You have to re-trigger that reticular activating system. You have to not think positive, but actually be positive in all the words and phrases that you use.
Who made the quantum field?
who made us?
I believe in God, so to me it's God, right? So I was just very curious, like
God in the opinion of gold, oil, and drugs, or God as in the overall supreme being.
The overall supreme being, yeah.
That created all
the heavens and the earth, yes.
Man, you know what? It's one of the greatest fields on earth.
Right. I was just wondering, because I know I've heard, I've been hearing, at least in the last maybe, I want to say about 6 to 8 months, I've been hearing a little bit more about this quantum field thing, right? Because I didn't really know about it prior to
that. It's human Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to, can you explain that to me? I don't know if I understand it.
Sure. It's the thing that we tap into. Let's say we take 10 women from different parts of the world.
You don't want to do that. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that could be true. Although in 10 different languages, I still wouldn't know what they were talking about anyway. So, but let's take 10 women and we put them on an island, mm-hmm. right? And they can't communicate with themselves because they don't know each other's language. However, in time, their cycles are going to sync because they've tapped into that energy. Mm. They've tapped into that group that is going to protect themselves. We have to tap into the things that we can't see, walk by sight. No, wait, I think I just screwed that up.
Walk by faith and not by sight. I got it, though. I got it.
You do that in the Yucatan when you're right and you just proclaim that, yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay.
Walk by faith, not by sight.
So you're saying that it connects all of us, is what you're saying?
Oh, 1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. Okay. You ever have that like deja vu? Or you know what? Nina's gonna call today. I have a feeling Nina's gonna call.
And it happens. Like, yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah, it's very
strange. We're tapping into that energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very strange, right? In a way that most people will never understand because they're not tapping into it.
Mm-hmm.
When you start tapping into the quantum field, the human Wi-Fi, synchronicities start to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that faith in yourself. Because we're all gods within, light seeking the human experience. So if God has created in his own image us, then we are gods.
Mm.
Not to be blasphemous, any stretch of the imagination. Being a servant, being a person that's been brought down to their knees so they can rise again. That's what God does, right? And cosmically bitch slaps us because we think we're full of ourselves.
We are full of ourselves. Let's just be real. But what about, I've heard somebody recently talk about the quantum field in that it was a coach talking about how money is energy. And that
money is energy, but most people are talking about currency. See, money is
okay.
I used to be called Mr. Financial Literacy when I used to speak.
I love this.
Money is a commodity, right?
Right.
What we're doing right now is money. The byproduct of us talking will be currency, things that ebb and flow through accounts.
Okay.
Right. So money is a store of value. I used to ask people, so what's your time worth? Oh my God, it's like, it's worth so much. And okay, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a checkout person that, like, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying anything, I'm just using it as an example. But you just got done telling me your time was worth so much. Why are you wasting your time there? Well, I have bills that I have to pay. Well, you know what? You're going to continue to pay those bills, right? I wrote the book, Everybody Pays a Vig. A vigorish is a tax you're never getting back in your life. Okay. It's a street term. So, and the people that I coach, usually high-end earners that are in their 50s, late 40s, and they're the ones that turn around and they look and they're like, wow, I've accomplished literally everything and my kids hate me. Well, you know what? You didn't accomplish everything because your kids hate you.
Right.
You left them out. You bought them whatever they wanted. So you paid them to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Not a money went dry. They don't love you anymore.
Right.
Subconscious behaviors and habits.
So how do you work with your clients then? Because you're right. I think clients would hate you.
Well, you know,
talk to me about that. Like, what does that look like?
Every time we have a session, at the end of the session, I want to be rated. And like, I love like the trickery of mindset because it's like, I'm asking questions and I'm coming from here. Okay. And I'm going to come all the way around and get back to this point where it's not 180 degrees, it's 360 because I want to get back. I want to get to that point where it's like, yeah, you know what? I don't appreciate how you're talking to me, right? And I'm not talking to you. I'm just showing you the mirror. You're talking to yourself that way.
Right.
And then in the end, it's like, I feel so much lighter. Okay, well, you know what? Send me an email right now and tell me about how light you feel from the last session that we just had.
Right.
And you give them actionable steps to where they can actually implement that stuff right now.
Right.
And move forward. Because it's very hard when we're confronting ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we have to go back to those deep stories.
Yeah.
And everybody has that one story. That one story that's holding them back to create their optimum life. And if you could just change the emotional attachment to that one story. Now you can tell your story.
There's a lot of stories though to get through, right? Like you have to get through all the other stories that were attached to that one story.
But there's one.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, there's a root. You're talking about the root. Yeah. The root.
Peeling that onion, man.
Yeah. Good. That is not easy. That is a very difficult thing to do.
It's simple.
Yeah. It's simple, right? Exactly. Because you start to think, oh, it's because of this. And then I always do like a 7 to 9 layers of why. So I'm like, but why? And they're like, because da 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 da. But why? Because this. And why is that? And why is that? And why is that? And then we get to the actual core. And then they're like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like where we're going.
Keep breaking them down.
Yeah. And I'm like, I know. I don't like when I have to do the work either. But how are you supposed to move forward if you don't do the work? You have got to do the work. I always say you have to feel it to heal it. You have got to go there. You know?
In real estate, we call it sweat equity.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not paying to be fixing. You're not paying for it to be fixed. Right. You're actually fixing it so you get paid.
Right.
That's the sweat equity. You don't have any money. Awesome. So you're looking at the equity that you want to tap into. Well, it requires blood, sweat, and tears.
How long do people work with you? Is it like, do you have like a program that you put them through or how is
four,
that?
Six or 12. 4, 6, 12 weeks.
Okay, great. Oh, weeks. Okay. And, 4, 6, or 12 weeks. Okay.
And the thing is, it's like, it's, what level are you at and where you want to go? I'm not for everybody by any stretch of the imagination. I can talk to 100 people and coach 2, 3.
Right. Yeah. As it should be, honestly, as it should be.
There's nothing like I pride myself on saying there's nothing on my website that you can put a Visa or a MasterCard into.
Right.
It's just because
I'm sure you want to meet them first.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I do the whole process myself.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, it's like people are like, oh, you know, that's a waste of time. It's like, I live in Mexico. Right. I have all the time in the world because I didn't have any time when I was battling cancer.
Right.
So I look at things differently.
I don't need to be
the richest man in Babylon.
Right.
Any stress. I am the wealthiest man in Babylon, though.
I believe that.
My mindset is different.
I believe that because You know, when you speak to people who have had those near-death experiences and things that have really put them through the ringer, their attitude is just completely different. You know, like when I lost everything, when we went homeless and we lost our home and our cars and everything, and we were sleeping in the car and sleeping in friends' living rooms and stuff, I realized I didn't really give a shit for items anymore. You know what I mean? Like all the things with the house and the paint, and I needed this and I needed, and now I'm like, oh, that, yeah, that's good. You know, my husband's like, do you want to buy that? Eh, we don't really need it. You know, it changes you. It changes you as a person. And it makes you realize what's
real. The only thing we have in this world is constant is change. Just people don't want to embrace it.
Is what change?
The only thing that we have in this world is change. And that's the only thing that's constant.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Change is constant.
Constant.
Everything. Yes. Every time you turn around. My daughter had a teacher in high school. And he used to say, life is like a Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, I had a buddy of mine. I was just talking to him this morning. His kid almost got killed last night. I saw the car on social media. Oh, I was like, holy crap. And the kid just walked away. Mm-hmm, a couple of scratches, mm-hmm. bumps, bruises, stories that he's going to tell forever.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't die.
Right.
Like, by the grace of God, the universe, energy, whatever you want to relate it to. But he didn't die.
Right.
And if you saw the vehicle, you'd be like, what? Tuesday afternoon. You want to hear God laugh? Tell him your plans. Right. he has a funny sense of humor.
Now, who do you mainly work with now? Who do you mainly work with?
What do you mean?
Like, is it men, women? Is it business owners? Is it, who do you work
it's
with?
It's mostly entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Mostly
okay.
entrepreneurs. Because mm-hmm. entrepreneurs think different.
Yeah.
Right? So it's always the stress and chaos that brings people up to a different level.
It's so true.
Transitional people, like people transitioning from a job, a day job, 9 to 5, to being an entrepreneur, I believe in my experience, okay, those are the worst people to coach. For me. Because it's an entirely different mind. It's a paycheck mentality.
I haven't had
a paycheck mentality my whole life. And I'm not knocking people at all.
Right, by any stretch.
It's like whatever, this is your life.
Right.
My life is just different.
Yeah.
My life is about the people that have the really fucked up, crazy stories that have been slammed left, right, and center, but yet they still have the balls. I say lady nuts because I know more women that have bigger nuts than guys. Because, I mean, you know, you think about it, right? Women have to go through their menstrual cycle, right? Women give birth to kids.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I get man flu and I'm in the corner, right? You know, it's like, come on, man, stand up.
Oh, that's real. Oh, it's so funny. Up.
It's like, you know, I don't like when people are like, oh, life is so great. No, life sucks sometimes, man. It's hard.
It sure does.
You know, I was listening to Les Brown one time and he was talking about one of his friends and he's like, yeah, my friend talks about how like you're in a problem, you're getting out of a problem, or you're looking to run right back into another problem.
It's very true. I think that we would have less issues with mental health and suicide and all these other things if people were just real. And the thing is most people who are living in the social media space are just looking at a one picture or a one reel or a one whatever, and they're comparing their shit life to that one thing. And not realizing that those people are also going through, right? And I think it's just something to be said about, like what you're talking about with that with that toxic positivity, right? Like, I think we need to stop. I know we need to stop looking at everybody else's life and start living our own. That's what we really need to do.
People want to be somebody other than who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've all done great things.
Yeah.
We've all done something great.
It's so true.
Sometimes just getting out of bed is an amazing task. Right? There were so many times I didn't even trust my own judgment, man. I'd be like self-isolating myself from my ex and my daughter because it was like I felt like I was a piece of shit. I was less than. I was a high achiever, and all of a sudden I couldn't even pay the light bill.
Right.
You know, and I teach my daughter all the time, like, man, if you have this beautiful car, right? And you're not able to take the keys and give it away to somebody, that shit's possessing you.
Mm.
So it's something in the lines of like, I'm free flowing.
That's so
I great. Have to be for myself. It's the only way I'm going to learn and grow.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That is awesome. I never heard anybody put it that way either. And that's really great. Like if you're so hung on to something that you can't even give it away, it's possessing you. That's good.
Yeah, because it's showing that you need that validation. It's showing that you're not being your overly productive self.
Right.
You're not tapped into the quantum field where everything is energy, right? Everything is energy. Bad energy, good energy.
Right.
But abundant right. energy is different. I know I can give things away because it's attracting to me more.
Right.
And it's right. not positive unicorn rainbow thinking. It's about being that person.
Right, right, right.
You that's have to not, believe in yourself.
Yeah. Right. I was just going to say that. That's the challenge right there, right? The self-awareness to actually know who you even freaking are to begin with. So if somebody's listening to you right now, where do they start?
Look in the mirror. That's your competition. It's you versus you, and one of you fuckers needs to die. So you got to get rid of that old version of yourself. It's not about building on your old version.
Oh, that's
it's
good,
eliminating the old version.
Mm-mm-mm.
How else, you know, it's like, how else are you going to fill your cup, right? If your cup is full. No, you got to dump that shit.
That's so good.
So it can be, so more can come in.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
People want to just hold on to their bullshit. No.
I love that shit though. Like you just gave me like all of it. Like, damn. Okay. I love
but
that.
But as I'm saying that, I'm doing the same thing for myself every
right.
day.
Right.
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 Like people are like, well, you're different. You're in Mexico. Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but this is what I get. Oh, but you're in Mexico. I'm like, what does that mean exactly? I live in a 400 square foot studio apartment.
Right.
This is the most peace I've ever been in my life.
Right.
I've lost everything.
Right.
Like literally. All my intellectual property was hacked. Right. It's like, I'll tell you a quick story. So I had an attorney with something, but I can't really talk about it because I had to sign NDAs. However, I could tell the story. So long story short is a few years ago, a big company gave away my shit and all my stuff got hacked.
Oh, wow.
Everything. And then, you know, coming around, it's like, well, didn't you have backups? Yeah, that shit got hacked too.
Right.
And now I look all around at all the greats. They've all been through shit. They've all been through stuff that'll just paralyze the average person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at it and I'm like, well, if that's what had to happen to be a giant, because I'm a fucking monster now.
Right.
And it's in it. And I say that with a smile on my face because I've been a villain in people's lives. I've been a villain in my life.
Right, right, right.
Right. Most people are. Whoa, own worst critics. But what are critics? Critics are just people that don't have the balls to do things for themselves. So don't be a critic to yourself.
Love
you're so
that.
Much. You're so beautiful. Most people believe themselves to be so ugly from things that they've done in their past.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a recall that resets that biochemistry set. See, our brain doesn't know the difference between time. It doesn't know the difference between fantasy or reality.
Right.
So why not believe in yourself? Understand that you're on top of the mountain. Not so, oh my God, look at me. It's like, no. So you could look and see who's coming up the mountain to give them a hand.
Amen to that. I like that.
So I have people, like I celebrate all my friends. And I have people like, why do you post their stuff? Because it's their stuff. They just did an amazing thing.
Right.
Yeah, but it's something that you didn't do. Maybe I'll follow them.
Right.
They just gave me a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome. So much,
and changing energy is such an amazing feeling, man. Because I am literally at the peak of my success. Mine. Nobody else's.
Right, right, right.
Because what I was talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about like, what's the end result of all of this? Death. You're going to die. So why not? Take control of your life right now before you kick.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That's so true.
I should have been dead so many times.
Yeah, right.
Cancer battle and all these diagnoses and surgeries and procedures. My blood pressure has bottomed out numerous times on a table. From my 9-hour cancer surgery, I woke up screaming because my blood pressure dropped. In front of my brother and my ex, and I'm glad my daughter was sleeping at the time. Because they both remember that. Right. Listening to me screaming. Because all the pain meds just died. And I was coming out, being rolled out, and I had tubes through my chest. Catheter.
Yeah.
That's not a tough time. Tell you some wild stories about recovery, man.
I bet. That's tough. That's tough, but like you're sitting here laughing and smiling, that which should tell people who are watching how you can overcome even these toughest times. You know, some people get stuck in the tough time and they just get stuck and they get stuck and they get stuck and they get stuck and they have to, like, they, I call it the loop, right? The never ending loop. And you have to start breaking the damn loop. I love that you said, look at yourself in the mirror. One of you got to die. Yes. You know, like you, one of you got to die. And let the one that's the old you die is done. Right. So I'm loving, like, oh man, I could talk to you forever and I'm already keeping you at 45 minutes. Okay. I don't want to leave though, before I know where people can follow you and do all of that. Cause I know that you do lives and you have your, you know, your coaching practice and all these things that you do. So give us that information before I wrap up.
CraigSikowski.com.
There you go.
That gives all my social media, gives my book, it gives it in English and Spanish. But yeah, I'm not here to promote that.
Are you speaking Spanish more now?
Más o menos, sí.
Ah, qué bueno.
No entendí mucho.
Ah, that's good. I'm glad you are. That's amazing.
Yo escuchar mucho. A mí me gusta practicar personas en la calle.
Oh, mucho. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Are you going to stay there, you think? Are you going to stay in Mexico?
I mean, I have stuff I'm continuing to do in the States.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, I lived here for 7 years before and I've been here a year and a half now, this last round. I love where I live.
Right.
And if you saw, like, if you saw my life on paper, right? And you saw where I lived and you'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, why is he still around? And it's like, because I live in a mansion.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's 400 square feet. It's a mansion.
Right.
Right. I know what I need in my life or what I have to have in my life to be joyful and to be at peace.
Right. Let me tell you, that's one of the biggest misconceptions and what the world tries to trap you in is that you need more to be more. And I remember one time I was going into this woman's house because I'm a chef by trade and I was doing a party at her house. I've been a chef for like 25 years. About 20 years. And I remember walking into this woman's home and her home was huge and it was on the water. It was gorgeous. And I said, oh my gosh, your home is beautiful. She goes, yeah, you want it? And I'm like, haha, I'm laughing. She goes, no, I'm serious. Do you want it? And I'm like, no. And she goes, it comes with a lot of freaking bills, a lot of headache. And a husband that works all the time that I never see. So if you want the house, you can have it, you know? And that just put so much perspective because I'm like, here I am looking at the house going, oh my God, this house. And it is a beautiful home, but I don't want that shit. All that shit you just talked about that you had to go through I don't think so. I'm good. I'm good in my little house.
You walk around in a beautiful home. I mean, I've had the toys. I've been able to write checks for hundreds of thousands of dollars and not think twice about it, you know? But also, lost millions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, first one to raise my hand. Yeah, I fucked that one up. Really good.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of people have though, right? I mean, I was my
but they
was,
sit. Yeah. But they stay in it.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
They sit in that and it's like, oh, it's never going
to
happen.
Because the shame, Craig, the shame comes and all of those things, the unforgiveness to yourself, the shame, the battling of yourself, the imposter syndrome, all that stuff comes. You have to deal with it in order to start moving forward. You have to.
I have dealt with it for myself.
Yeah.
Nobody else other than myself.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it though. Yeah. I could tell you until I'm blue in the face that you have to do it, but unless you do the work, nothing's going to change.
Well, right? that's the whole thing. It's like when you're talking with people, you can tell by their words and phrases that they use whether or not they're just going to sit in that for the rest of their life.
I know.
And it's not my job to uplift them and encourage them and inspire and motivate them. I've been there, done that, man. Right. I don't do that shit anymore. Because I understand inspiration and motivation last, you know, the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say
Monday,
2 seconds.
You're back to the same crap.
Yeah, exactly. The work has to happen. Thank you so freaking much for hanging out with me. Like today we didn't get, thank you, God, for no interruptions today. No Wi-Fi stuff, no storms happening. Such a great conversation, Craig. You are a genius. And I really am grateful for you taking the time to come back on to speak with me. This was so good. I'm going to make sure that my team clips the hell out of this episode. So I appreciate you being here. I really do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nina. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
So fun. So fun, guys. I told you, right? So I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below. I know the episode went long. So what? Make sure you like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Time is relative. All right? Love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez. Straight talk, no sugar added. Until next time.